Well, those would have been some words to hear. This scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing would have been like, you would have heard that, you know, as like, what? Or like, what? Or like maybe more angry, like, what? Because he's claiming to be the Messiah. And you don't hear that and then just, I don't know, keep on sitting in the pew doing nothing. I don't know. I mean, there they are, right? So there are, our Mass is modeled after, the first half is modeled after synagogue worship, where you hear from the Word of God, and then there's a homily, there's a teaching, explaining, this is what we just heard from God's Word. This is what the Scripture means. So Jesus reads from Isaiah 61, and then he sits down. That part of the homily is different, because only bishops can preach from sitting. Jesus qualifies for that. I mean, nowadays only bishops preach from sitting. So if I preach from sitting, I better have a broken leg or not be able to stand, because Bishop Boyer is going to call me and say, Daniel? I don't know what he would say, but I need to be standing right now. Let's just say that. Jesus sits down and he says, you know, he just read, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor, to proclaim liberty to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord. Sits down and says, today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing because I am going to fulfill this promise of God. And now, this year, now is the time I'm going to do it. Well, either you're going to believe him or you're going to have a big problem with him. And a lot of people believed him, and a lot of people had a bit, even maybe even more people here, had a big problem with him because this was his hometown. This was Nazareth. And their lack of faith is what made him say, only in his hometown is a prophet without honor. And that's also probably the reason why they don't assign priests to go back to their home parish after they get ordained. And they try to throw him off a cliff. But you know what? Their response, his preaching elicited a response. And for some, it was a response of faith. Not as many here as other places. This is a powerful statement. It's a provocative statement, and it elicits a response either way. Do I believe that you are the one, and that you can do these things, that you can restore sight to the blind, you can restore freedom to the captive, you can heal? Can you do this? And amazingly, many people who were sitting in the pews waiting for the Messiah, knowing these promises of God, waiting and waiting and waiting. And then Jesus stood up in their very synagogue at Nazareth and he says, this is fulfilled now. After that, they were still waiting and waiting in the same synagogue, wondering, when is God going to visit his people? When is God going to fulfill the promises that he has made to us? Meanwhile, other people in the synagogue, or who were there, are completely transformed. They're like, God has finally fulfilled all his promises. I can't believe it. I do believe it. And there's such a difference between those who are waiting for God to act and those who have, in faith, taken hold of, received God's action. We can do the same thing to Jesus now. I think probably in different ways we have all done that. Because we know that it's good to wait on the Lord, and that's always a good thing. There's also a bad waiting that I think we've all done, maybe. I know I've done, where I'm waiting and Jesus comes and he says, I want you to trust in this. I want you to step forward in faith and ask for this. I want you to receive more right now. But the faith wasn't there for me. And so I'm just sitting waiting. Wonder when God's going to fulfill his promises. Wonder when he's going to make me a new creation and give me that new heart. I wonder when he's going to answer this prayer. Maybe some of you are praying for a grandchild to come back to the faith, or a child, or a family member, or maybe for a healing, or maybe for... There's a very real sense in which we can wait and wait and wait and wait, and the Lord is in front of us saying, receive this. with faith and courage, I want you to believe that I'm going to act. Maybe even, I want you to believe with faith and courage, I want you to believe that I'm going to act now, this year, or even today. When we have faith that Jesus is going to do something, or that even that he can, or that he's going to, it takes courage. It's a risk. Faith is always a little bit of a risk. But especially when we're saying, I think God's doing something now. But those things and those people that you've been praying for a long time, I'm especially thinking of the people that you've been praying for to come back to the church, or that you've been praying for that child or grandchild or friend to know God's love personally. Maybe yourself. God, I want to experience you personally. I want to know your love for me personally. God is going to answer that. And there's a difference between praying like, God, I just would really like it if you would do this, if you would show your love to my grandchild, if they would know your love for them personally. There's a difference between praying it like, I hope you would, I wish you would, and then saying, I know, I trust that you are going to answer my prayer and that you will do this, that you want us to receive your love. And so I'm going to pray with faith. And I'm going to take the risk of believing that you're going to do this thing that I ask. Because it's the thing that you promised, right? You might be asking for something that God doesn't want you to ask for. But if you're asking that you would receive knowledge, personal knowledge of his love for you, or for someone else to receive that, that is exactly what he will give us every time. As I was watching the first episode of The Wild Goose, which was this past week, the thing that I don't know what stuck out to you the most if you saw it, but Father Dave was talking about his brother. Father Dave was talking about praying for years for his brother who had wandered away from God's love and from the church as a young man. And he had prayed for years for his brother. And then one day, in the acceptable year of the Lord, in the one of those sudden moments where the Lord breaks in, his older brother that he'd been praying for years experienced God's love for him. It was at his ordination mass, and he starts crying, and he sees his older brother crying at his ordination, and he's moved by that. It's his older brother. I mean, that's something, right? And then the next day, at his first mass of Thanksgiving, again, I think he said at the sign of the cross at the beginning, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and he's crying. We don't usually think of that as like a deeply emotional moment in the mass, but when you're receiving God's love, it's not working your emotions up into some kind of an experience. It's God's love that you're experiencing. God's love that this man was experiencing. And all of a sudden, his prayers were answered. Like in a moment. That moment, the Lord wants you to trust in. When you pray and when you ask, he wants you to trust in it. Whether you're praying for yourself or for someone else, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. I think what the Lord especially is doing right now is giving us a fuller outpouring of his Holy Spirit in that personal knowledge here and here that I am loved by God, his child. And I can go to him in confidence and faith, asking with courage, not being afraid of being let down or disappointed, just asking. In the background, as Father Dave is talking, you see Niagara Falls. It's a lot of water. I don't know how much water. I don't know how many gallons per second that is. But that's subliminally there, just to have you keep thinking about this as an analogy of God pouring his love out into our hearts, into our lives. That waterfall is like God pouring his love. And the amazing thing about Niagara Falls is that it's always pouring. Like it's constantly, that river's, as long as that river's flowing, there's an unknown but very large number of gallons per second. And that's happening right now. And right now. And it's still happening now. And as you're driving home, it'll still be happening. That's amazing. That's a lot of water. Okay? What's the analogy? It's God's love and his grace poured into our hearts. When we ask, it's like when we ask the Father for something, it's like going to Niagara Falls and asking for some water to be poured into our hearts. Don't bring a thimble. Oh, well, you know, I just kind of don't really know if you're going to answer me. I mean, who am I, little me, or I don't know if you're really there. And sometimes we bring a thimble, don't we? or a shot glass or like a coffee mug or like, ask a little bigger. What do you really desire? And the Lord purifies our desires as we pray. He purifies what we really, he leads us to what we really, really want. Cuts through some of that other worldly stuff. That's, you know, it's kind of it's a desire at the surface of our being, but he draws us deeper to the depths of who we are. And he meets us there. And he answers our prayers. And he does give us and those we love this personal knowledge of his love for us. Ask and you will receive. For everyone who asks receives. Now is the time of asking with more faith, with a greater confidence in our Father's love for us, and that he's going to act. Not that we're sitting and waiting all for eternity, it's never going to happen, I'm just going to be waiting here. Nope. But it does take a little faith and the courage to ask with faith for what the Lord can do for us.